This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Across Connecticut, students and teachers are getting ready for the start of Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium, or SBAC, testing. It's a common core-aligned standardized test designed to measure a child's progress in a variety of subject areas. But many people in the state aren't thrilled with this test. The state's largest teachers union recently asked lawmakers to cut back on standardized testing. A number of parents say they plan to opt their kids out of SBAC tests this spring. Today, Where We Live, we've gathered a panel of experts to weigh in on standardized testing and some of the controversy surrounding it, including trying to answer the question, can parents and students really opt out? A bit later, we'll also check in on the search for Connecticut's next education commissioner. We want to hear from you if you've got kids in the public school system. Are you happy with the state's testing requirements? Do you plan on having your kids take this test or not? You can join us, 860-275-7266. Again, 860-275-7266. Comment on our website, WNPR.org. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. Joining us in studio is Mark Waxenberg, who's Executive Director of the Connecticut Education Association. And Mark, welcome to the program once again. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Also with us is Jeffrey Villar, who's Executive Director of the Connecticut Council for Education Reform. Hello, Jeffrey, and thank you for coming.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
And joining us is our friend Jacqueline Rabe Thomas. She's Education Reporter for the Connecticut Mirror, and she helps us through some of these complex issues in not just testing but also in education at large. And we're going to be taking a look at one of the new tools that the Mirror has been rolling out a little bit later on. Jackie, good to see you once again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering, Jackie, can you just get us started here so we understand what exactly is the SBAC test that we're talking about here?
Sure. So it's a series of tests that students in grades 3 through up till 11th grade will be taking that is aligned with Common Core. Several states will be taking the same test, and it's aligned with Common Core. It's an adaptive test. It's a different type of test so that if a student gets the first question right, it'll move on to a little bit more of a difficult test to sort of see where that student stands on different content area.
And it's not your old-fashioned bubble test. It's a little different, too, in the way you take it.
Right. A student sits in front of a computer and takes a test.
Aside from the actual logistics of it, I mean, how you take the test and the fact that it's adaptive, how is it different or maybe a little bit the same as some of the other standardized tests we've had over the many years here in Connecticut?
So it's the same in that students are taking a test to measure what they have been learning throughout the school year from areas as English, science, different content area. What is measured is a little bit different, and what's focused on is a little bit different, and that's where the Common Core comes into play.
So, Mark, let me ask you. Your union is calling on lawmakers to reduce the number of standardized tests. Maybe you can be very specific with us about what specifically you're asking for state lawmakers to do here.
What we specifically are saying is that we've created a model that houses the standardized testing concept. It's called progress monitoring assessments or progress monitoring tests that are given throughout the year versus the SBAC model that Jackie just talked about. We are asking that the SBAC model be phased out and the progress monitoring model be phased in because that really is a better model relative to showing the growth of the students on an immediate basis versus the SBAC model, which basically is a one-time snapshot where the teachers do not see the growth of the child at all during that period of time, and they get the results back probably the following year, whereas our model sees the growth of that child on a daily, weekly basis and can communicate that to the parents immediately, and it also helps the teachers teach and learn better to service their students.
You say phase out the SBAC test, but it's not like the SBAC test has been around for very long.
Correct. And what we found is that, first of all, only 17 states have the SBAC test, and it is not validated yet, and it really has shown the difficulty for us in the state of Connecticut. And what it is doing is what I say, it's sucking all the education oxygen out of the classroom and drill, baby, drill for this test, this high-stakes test that is given in a two-month period from, I believe, April through June. And the difficulty there is that the students are doing nothing but preparing for the test, and there's very limited teaching and learning taking place in the classroom, which is one of our major concerns, whereas our model, the teaching and learning is part of the whole process of the testing that goes on in the classroom.
But if indeed you have a year-round test of some sort, this progress monitoring test, mm-hmm. doesn't that just really mean that a standardized test is part of everyday life as opposed to drilling for a test for a couple months? You're drilling for a test that's in the classroom every day.
No, this model basically has three 25-minute bursts of testing, one at the beginning of the year, one at the middle of the year, one at the end of the year, to identify the level at which the student starts, grade level, equivalencies, things of that nature, standards. And it is measured against the Common Core, so there is no differentiation there. And then at the middle of the year, there is a measurement associated with that as well, and at the end of the year. So it's integrated fully in the curriculum so that the teacher can adapt on a daily basis to what the student's needs are, rather than taking the one-size-fits-all type of model that exists today.
Jackie?
So I guess I just have a question to that. Is that the same progress test for every district, or would each district create their own?
Under our proposed legislation that we are unveiling today, it would be the same. There would be a task force of teachers and of educators that would convene over this beginning July 1st to, in effect, decide on that single progress monitoring test that we would use for the state of Connecticut.
So then what about the CBAC test is so burdensome? That why switch away from a single standardized test? What about that test? I understand what you're saying about this new test that you're hoping to develop, but what specifically about the CBAC test do you have take issue with?
Well, the issue with the one the one-time test being taken at the spring or the from April to June is that it doesn't help the teacher understand where the needs of the children are. It's a one-time shot of understanding where the student falls in the 1, 2, 3, or 4 range, doesn't get the response back as to where the scores of that child was until the following year, whereas our model, which is in use in 100, every school district across the state right now, this is not new. Mm-hmm. Our model begins at the beginning of the year and shows throughout the whole year what the child is able to do on an ongoing basis rather than preparing for one test to be given. And it's a high-stakes test, which is very difficult to do.
And we're talking about high-stakes testing. We're talking about standardized testing here on the program today. And we're talking with Mark Waxenberg, who's the executive director of the Connecticut Education Association. They're outlining a plan to change the way we test the state students, moving away from this new one-time test that kids are going to be starting to take very, very soon. You've also heard so far from Jackie Rabe Thomas, who's an education reporter for the Connecticut Mirror. Jeffrey Valaris here from the Connecticut Council for Education Reform. I'd love for you to respond, Jeffrey.
Thank you. You know, I've been listening, and I'm a little disappointed with the characterization of what's happening in our classrooms around standardized testing. Prior to this role, I was a superintendent of schools in several Connecticut districts, and I'm an educator of over 20 years. It's simply not true to say that our kids spend months of the school year drilling and killing for the standardized test. Educators know that's not good practice. Teachers know that, and teachers are working really hard to make sure that they're delivering quality lessons to our kids every day. The Smarter Balanced Assessment represents the next generation of testing for Connecticut. It uses computers to address some of the very concerns that Mr. Waxenberg has raised. You know, the fact that with the legacy CMT tests, which quite frankly we've used for 30 years in Connecticut, it's quite incorporated into our curriculum, and the time is allotted for kids to take and exercise great lessons in school throughout the year to be prepared for that. But we've had 30 years of that testing, and it's clearly the SBAC is moving us forward from that. And why is that? Well, technology allows us to get the results much quicker. You heard some discussion about the computer adaptive nature of the test. That's really important to understand because what it does for the first time in a standardized assessment arena is allow for educators to get information about where kids are relative to the standard. Are they below? Are they above? And it gives you a much more granular level of data than we've had in the past.
But one of the things that he's proposing is that if you indeed have some sort of a testing regimen that goes throughout the year, you're able to, on a more day-by-day basis, understand where the kid is as opposed to doing it just over a two-month period at the end of a school year. Wouldn't that make sense? Maybe taking some of the computerized advances that we have now, the adaptive testing models, and putting those into a year-long testing regimen as opposed to just a real high-stakes thing that happens in a short period of time.
Well, I'm glad you raised that because I agree that type of regimen is part of a quality curriculum. Quite frankly, with the Smarter Balanced Assessments, what they've incorporated are a digital library of lessons and activities that are aligned with the Common Core that are available for teachers. And the Connecticut State Department of Education has made this available for teachers so that they can ensure that the lessons that they're delivering to children on a daily basis are, in fact, aligned and are going to help prepare those children. A good quality school curricula has to incorporate quality engaging lessons for children, opportunities for what we call formative assessments for teachers, which means ways that teachers can gather information about how children are learning or why they're not learning certain concepts in the classroom. Those formative assessments are the drivers for teachers as they go home and they rethink their lessons or even on the fly. That's an important component. The benchmark assessments, which are really what Mr. Waxenberg is describing when he calls progress monitoring assessments or progress assessments, benchmark assessments are assessments that can begin to demonstrate growth over time. But it's a very difficult thing to construct, and there are scientific ways to do that, and there are assessments that exist. Smarter Balance's goal over time is to provide that service as well.
But would you be willing to entertain some sort of a program that combined the best of what you think comes out of this SBAC test and the best of what might come out of a different sort of proposal that allows us to test children over the course of a year?
I would say we need both. It's very important.
I'm saying if we had one or the other, would you be willing to compromise and say that we can come up with some sort of a new testing regimen that actually takes some of the best of what you are proposing and some of the best of what he is proposing and make a different system that works for Connecticut?
Well, here's the fundamental problem. With the Smarter Balance Assessment and the CMT prior and the NAEP assessment, which is done nationally, that data is critically important if we want to have accountability in our school systems. That data is the data that allowed us as a nation to understand that we have a significant problem with our achievement gap. It allowed us to understand that Connecticut leads the nation with the largest achievement gap. So that type of assessment is very important if you want comparative data. I'll take my own personal life, for example. I'm divorced. I have children who go to school in two different school districts. Absent a test like the Connecticut Mastery Test or the Smarter Balance Test, it's very difficult for me, an educator, to know whether or not my children are receiving the same type of education in two different school districts. So the SBAC assessment or the CMT prior and even the NAEP will start to begin to give you the ability to say, gee, is an A in mathematics in District 1 the same as the A in mathematics in District 2? Will my children be ready for college?
And I want Jackie Rabe Thomas has a question. I wanted to jump in. A lot of teachers, and we just had a teachers panel the other night in which we were talking with elementary school teachers about what their job is, and a lot of them would say to you, one way to find out is to go to a classroom. Just hang out at your kid's school. See what they're teaching. See if the teachers are doing a good job. I mean, numbers don't tell the whole story.
I agree. Numbers do not tell the whole story. Numbers are actually the beginning of the conversation. And as superintendent, I spent a lot of time in classrooms. And I can tell you there's tremendous variability between classrooms within a single school, never mind between schools in a district, never mind between districts. And I've been in many different districts. So there's importance to have a scientifically constructed, valid and reliable assessment like an SBAC, like a CMT, like a NAEP. Those types of tests are an important component, small component, because they're really about 7 hours out of 180 school days in a year. But it's an important component to our accountability system.
Jackie?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the leader of the teachers union advocating for more testing. But he raises an interesting point. So the fact that he wants progress to be monitored instead of saying, my local Hartford school, how do you compare to a local elementary school in Avon? It's not a fair comparison. Hartford Public Schools deals with a lot of different challenges than other districts. So it raises a good point of how much is that teacher or how much is that classroom or that school improving that child's education? How much is that child growing throughout the year? That's what matters. And I think that's where there's a concern among how does CBAC, where does CBAC fall into that? How are those tests being used? So you can have whatever test you want to have. It's how they're being used. And I think that's what the fundamental difference between these two gentlemen is.
Well, but Mark, we can't forget
I just want to go,
science,
quickly
though.
Go to Mark just to respond, if you would.
First of all, I think that Jeff has not read the plan because basically our plan is scientifically based. You've used them in Windsor when you were there. You used the Northwest the progress monitoring tests. So our plan is scientifically based, and Jackie, you're absolutely correct. Our plan does allow for the comparisons that Jeff is concerned about from district to district because it allows, but it shows instead of a cutoff score, instead of saying that Jackie's a 1 and John is a 2, what it shows is how much, what's the grade equivalency of Jackie now, where was she, and what growth is there. Imagine a parent coming into a parental conference. Isn't it better that that parent sit with that teacher with a portfolio of information about their student? This is where they were. This is where they are. These are the standards that they were mastering. These are the standards that they're mastering now, and this is how we're going to get to the mastery or to the greater equivalency versus waiting until the following year to determine what the score is of my child, which doesn't do anything.
I have to ask, and this is from a sort of a public policy standpoint in terms of lawmakers considering these various options. Have we heard about this plan that you're talking about, Mark, before? I mean, is this just a brand new thing? Is this something you floated prior? Because it seems as though having this now that we've – a lot of the controversy around what's been happening mm-hmm. with the Common mm-hmm. Core and around the standardized testing regimen in the state has been that an awful lot of change happened very, very quickly, and a lot of moving parts were going into place. We're adopting a Common Core state standards. We're putting in new testing regimens. We're putting in new teacher evaluations all at exactly the same time. And now the state's largest teachers union is saying, basically, shortly after starting this new regimen, we're going to start something entirely new. Doesn't that throw things into chaos even more? Why are we just hearing about this now?
I don't think it throws things into chaos because the teachers have been doing this model for years. They've been doing progress monitoring assessments for years. What we're doing is using them in the wave to show the growth and accountability that people are espousing SBAC to do. And what we're saying is SBAC does not work. Now, you've only had SBAC for 2 years. They took the pilot last year. They have yet to release the scores because we know that it was implemented properly. They're going to have difficulty this year. Wisconsin's examining itself as to whether or not it's going to continue. California yesterday, as the state board, just said we're not going to use those test scores because we don't know if they're valid or not yet. What we are trying to do is create a teaching and learning environment that we believe will work, hold the teachers and the students accountable for growth, and over time, which is the key indicator, as Jackie said, looking at that child, where were they, where are they, and how do I know that that's occurred?
Jackie and then Jeff?
So the reason why Smarter Balance and PARC and all these different Common Core line tests were first created was to make sure that we could see on the same playing field how our state students are doing in public schools compared to other students, where they align. Now 20 states, something like 20 states have pulled out of using those mm-hmm. Common Core line tests. So there is a movement among many states to back out of using them or not using them for certain things. If the state were to move towards a progress test, it would be very difficult to see how Connecticut students compare to Alabama students or how we compare to Washington students or name your students. And that was sort of one of the fundamental reasons why CBAC was created in the first place and these tests were adopted in the first place. So there is some concern among advocates on that side.
But why does it – how much does it matter, Jeffrey, that we are able to compare ourselves to Alabama? Or Mark talks about Wisconsin. Well, there's a model for good civic government. I mean, Wisconsin is in the news every day for the way in which it seems to be at odds between the governor's office and the state workers. I mean, should we really be doing something just so we can compare ourselves to Alabama, Mississippi, or Wisconsin?
I'd say you might want to compare yourself to Massachusetts, which has been doing a dynamite job of looking at closing the achievement gap and addressing issues with its districts that are lower performing. I think the biggest issue here, what we really have to look at, is what's best for our kids. And I think the fact that we have in Connecticut the largest gap in the nation, that we have school districts in our state that year after year have not improved, and that we have thousands of students, as a matter of fact, 8,000 dropout students annually. The fact that 62% of our minority students graduate, meaning almost 40% do not. These are issues that we have to address. These tests have brought those issues to light, and they keep a focus on those issues. So that is why, you know, this one test annually, again, beginning in 1984 in Connecticut, is an important test to continue. This concept of discussion we're having around benchmark assessments, I don't disagree that they're quality assessments or can be. It appears that Mr. Waxenberg referred to my time in Windsor that we were using the MAP assessment, Measures of Academic Progress. That is a standardized test that's produced by an organization That is quite expensive, quite frankly, to implement. That is used in some school districts across the state, certainly not universally used. So if that's the test that we're talking about, in fact, it is a good test. And what's really neat part about the measure of academic progress, and I'm glad to hear that Mr. Waxenberg supports this test, it does allow us to measure student growth. And perhaps then we can take that measurement of student growth and then use that to inform our evaluation system.
I want to get to a few phone callers, and I want to ask more about evaluations. And we're going to be talking in just a couple minutes after our break about how many parents are talking about opting out of tests like this. I want to go to Ed first in Middletown. Hi, Ed. Go ahead. You're on Where We Live.
Good morning, John. I'm on the Middletown Board of Education. I don't speak for the board. I speak as a parent and someone who's concerned about the SBAC test. You know, we had a meeting the other night, and we had grave concerns about SBAC. As Mark said, the pilot was taken last year, and we have no report on the results of that. And we have tried diligently to find out what lies behind the platitudes about this test being able to reveal certain things about the student and test achievement. There's, you know, Common Core is based around evidence-based learning and showing your work, and yet the people who have developed SBAC have not done that.
Well, Ed, thank you very much for your phone call. And maybe you can just address quickly, Jeffrey, Ed's concerns there, because part of it gets to this question about aligning with the Common Core. We've talked to many, many teachers and many parents who've said that the basic tenets of Common Core are things that they can get behind. It's just the way that the Common Core has been implemented along with this regimen of tests is what some of the problem is. Others have problem with the Common Core itself. But I'm just wondering if you can address some of what is in Ed's question there.
Well, I think there's a misunderstanding of what happened last year with the pilot of the SBAC assessment. The purpose of the SBAC assessment's pilot last year was twofold. One, there's a technical system that had to be in place to ensure that you could have, you know, tens of thousands of students taking an assessment online essentially at the same time. And two, part of any standardized test development is to essentially test run items. And over time, they statistically can analyze responses to items, and it helps produce an enhanced accuracy. So you're looking for validity and reliability in each of your items. So part of a test construction process is you have to have a number of test takers taking items, and then you analyze the results. So last year when I talked to the State Department, there was little intention of us having student responses from last year's test. It was part of the construction process. This year is the first year we should expect student-level data, and then we can begin to construct and adjust our instruction based on that. So we're a little too impatient in what we're expecting.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about standardized testing, including this SBAC test, which kids are getting ready to take here across Connecticut. We're talking with Jeffrey Villar, who's executive director of the Connecticut Council for Education Reform, Mark Waxenberg, the executive director of the Connecticut Education Association. Jacqueline Rabe Thomas is an education reporter for the Connecticut Mirror. And we'll take some of your phone calls as well at 860-275-7266. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up tomorrow afternoon, would you read an article penned by an algorithm? How about a short story? On Science Friday, we'll be taking a look at the rise of bot authors, including bot journalists. There's a scary thought. And with a couple of taps on your smartphone, you can sign up for a clinical trial. But is that a good idea? The brave new world of medical data. I'll be sitting in for Ira Flatto on Science Friday tomorrow afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. Hope you can join us. Today in the program, we are talking about standardized testing. It is a hot issue, of course, in all the districts across Connecticut. One of the things that we're talking about is the SBAC test, something that school kids across Connecticut are going to be taking coming up very shortly. We have Mark Waxenberg from the Connecticut Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, Jeffrey Villar, who's from the Connecticut Council for Education Reform, and Jackie Rabe Thomas, who's an education reporter for the Connecticut Mirror. Let's get to a few quick phone calls here. People want to join the conversation. If I can get this to work, I can ask Jason from New London to join us. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's up?
I was calling in because of my concerns that I have about how FERPA, HIPAA, and the Privacy Act were modified and sidestepped in order to legally allow a P20 student data system to give private organizations access to our students' private information through things like UCLA, federal laws, a state agreement, and our state longitudinal data system, where that system collects all the information from our kids and sends it out to private organizations to where they then use and can sell that data.
Jason, thank you very much. Jackie, do we know anything about what Jason's talking about?
I have to be honest. I don't know if that differs from our current testing system. I'm not sure how that plays out, but I know they collect data right now from students for our current legacy tests. So
this is one of the big issues that a lot of people have, Jeffrey, with our testing regimen, is that these are tests that come from corporations that stand to make money off of testing and maybe stand to make money off of students. And that is one reason why, as we get into the question about opting out, a lot of parents are saying, you know what, I don't really want my kids to take this test.
Well, you know, I as a citizen of the United States, share concerns around data privacy. You know, most of us, I'm sure, use Amazon and are somewhat surprised at times of what ads pop up based on what you purchased last week. And so that's a concern I think we all share. But we do have federal and state laws that are aimed at protecting students' privacy. And I can recall as superintendent of the district, when we did sign agreements with different vendors for information management systems and different types of data systems, that each of those contracts contain language, specific language, protecting children's rights and privacy. So it is something that leaders are aware of, that I know our State Department of Education is aware of. And I think we need to be vigilant around. I mean, there's always a decision that's to be made as to where the line is for all of our personal privacy.
Well, I'm wondering, Mark, quickly, how big an issue it is for you and your union that indeed the tests that we have are tests that come from corporations that stand to make money on the testing of our kids?
Well, I think the issue is, if that's the sole purpose that we believe in some instances it is, then we have major problems. The sole purpose of any test, I mean, we've been doing Iowa tests since when I was in the third grade. Corporations made that. Houghton Mifflin did school books when we were all reading school books rather than computers in those days. So somebody's going to make money. But when the sole purpose is for making money at the expense of, if you will, of teaching and learning, that's when we have a problem, and that's what's happening, we believe, right now.
In the test that you're proposing, the test that you're going to roll out as your alternative to the SBAC test, who makes money off of that? Whose test is that?
What we are advocating for is what presently exists in the classroom today, which is the STAR, Ames Web, MAP. Those are already in existence today in the classroom. So school boards are paying for those. All we're doing is flipping, if you will, the way in which we assess schools on its head. We are not going to take 90% of a school's profile and make it accountable for one test. We want to have that portfolio of growth and that children's learning over the year be the driving force behind what happens in the classroom.
So, Jackie Rabe Thomas, I want to get to a next question. A lot of people want to join us at 860-275-7266, and there's a lot more to get to. But this question of parents opting out of this test, as these tests come up, we've heard from many parents across the state saying, you know, I don't want my kids to take this, and there's some controversy or some perhaps misinformation about whether or not parents can indeed do that. What can you tell us about what you know about parents deciding to opt out of this test?
So there is no state statute that gives a parent a right to opt out, but there is no state statute that prohibits them from opting their child out. To the contrary, actually, as far as how districts are able to use that information, state law says that a test cannot be the sole criterion for promotion or graduation from one grade to the next. So if a student decides not to take a test, that cannot be the sole reason why a student is not able to go on to third grade from fourth grade. As far as what is at risk is federal funding and state funding for the district. Not, again, you can make the argument that that directly does impact the student in the end if their district or their school is receiving less money. But as far as direct impact to the student, there's no guidance on this, really.
I want to bring in Jonathan Pelta. He's a blogger and an advocate. He's based in Connecticut. He's written quite a bit about education at the state level, and he joins us by phone. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John, and I appreciate you doing this show and appreciate you putting the time together. You know, this is the biggest change to public education in our lifetimes, and parents are just beginning to understand that. And so this is an important demarcation that you're doing a show and others are starting to report on it, because I think parents will be shocked to find out what the SBAC and what the Common Core is doing to our schools.
Well, okay. Why don't we just get at that quickly? When you say what it is doing to our schools, give me one very specific example about something that would shock a parent that it's doing to our schools.
Right. I'll give you two. First off, let me just back up 1 second. I felt like I was listening into a Kafka trial when listening to the discussion, as if parents and teachers don't know how children are doing. With two children, I've been to probably 20 parent-teacher conferences over the years, and never once did the teacher say, I'm sorry, I don't have a sufficient number of tests to know how your child is doing. So for the suggestion that somehow this test is for the benefit of the child is just completely false. What is a problem is that the SBAC standards and the Common Core standards, and there's nothing wrong with enhancing standards, and there's nothing even wrong with trying to align standards across districts or across states. We do have standards. We've been improving them over time, and they are aligned across all of the towns of Connecticut. But these standards are designed on average about 2 to 3 grade levels above where students are presently, and I think there's been a wide consensus of that. And the problem with the SBAC test is, and if people think back to their own testing experiences, a C is the average, and then you push to try to get a B, or maybe you work really hard and you're good at it and you get an A. These tests, and they've already decided what the demarcation, what the cut score is for next year, for the year that's starting right now, they've already decided that, and using the data from last year's test, which is actually available on the SBAC website, they report that 6 in 10 Connecticut children are scheduled, more than 6 in 10, to fail the math section in all grades, and as many as 7 in 10 in Connecticut will fail the math. I mean, 6 in 10 in English, 7 in 10 in math, and 90% of children who use special education will fail more than 90% of children who are English language learners. So this isn't a fair test. This isn't a test that measures mastery. This isn't a test that measures what has happened in the classroom. This is a test that, quite frankly, you could implement the Common Core over a series of, let's say, a decade, and then begin to test. But we are going to now have a test that identifies the vast majority of children as failures.
And worse,
it won't even show up until June, so teachers can't even use it for their assessment of those children.
Well, from what you just said, I just have two questions. One for Jackie Thomas here. If indeed we find out that 6 in 10 children are, say, failing on the math portion of this test, once we get all the data back, what happens then, Jackie? I mean, what happens to these kids, to these districts?
So that's an important question of what the tests are used for. But it also goes to the earlier point of where the bar was to begin with. The bar in every state was at a different level. Connecticut was actually at the higher end of where our standards were. When it comes to what these tests are used for, they are going to be used in the future for teacher evaluations. Part of the teacher's evaluation is going to be these standardized test scores. The state, in its waiver to the federal government, ESEA waiver, is requesting that it be pushed back on when those standardized tests are being able to be used towards a score, as well as school ratings. So each school and each district is given a school and district performance index. And based right now, those indexes are based off of standardized tests, almost entirely based off of standardized tests. The state now is moving in its waiver request to include other things like AP test results, college enrollment, chronic absenteeism, how well is a district doing towards getting more of their students to show up for school each day. So the idea that these tests are high stakes, I think, is a little bit it remains to be seen if they're high stakes. It's, again, you can have the debate of whether people are teaching to the test and it's guiding what's going on in the classroom. But as far as what happens, the state is using these tests to direct more money to districts that perform low on these tests. So,
and so Jeffrey Villar, one of the questions I wanted to have you address is something that we've heard from other people. Jonathan Pelto just mentioned it. Many critics of this test say that it's essentially designed for the wrong grade level, that it's really for 2 or 3 steps too high for the children who are taking it. How do you respond to that?
Well, I have so many comments. I've been trying to write notes here on the misinformation that's being distributed that's really concerning me. You know, the high-stakes test, CMT was never high stakes. SBAC's not high stakes for children. We've seen that since 1984.
But it is for teachers.
Potentially it is, but even then, it's only a fraction of a small portion of teachers' evaluation.
It's 22 point.
Absolutely, it is. I piloted the teacher evaluation system as a superintendent. I helped inform what that system would be like. And so, if you're an English teacher, 22.5% of your evaluation can be considered based on the SBAC result in the upcoming year. But you sit down with your evaluator at the beginning of the year, and you set goals. And within those goals, you can actually set sub goals for different groups of children within your classroom. So it's very difficult for a teacher to establish goals that are going to actually be harmful.
Before we move
them.
On from that, does that sound right to you, Mark?
You know, the bottom line is you've got a bad test in front of you that you're using to identify student progress, supposedly, teacher performance, supposedly. The whole issue of teacher, this is not about teacher evaluation. It's all about teaching and learning. What we're doing is we are spending time dealing with a test for the purpose of passing that's flawed to begin with, based on flawed data.
But just quickly, just before we move on to this so that we're not confusing our listeners, what he's saying about the role that it will play in teacher evaluations, is he right about that? Is he essentially saying that it's just going to play a small part in the teacher evaluations moving forward? How do you characterize it differently, Mark?
No, clearly not. It becomes high stakes for the teacher and also the students. The teacher will teach to the middle, what we call in education is teach to the middle, because they don't want their evaluation to show that they are not performing well for their students.
That's fundamentally incorrect.
That's not
because when
I deal
you look
with
at,
I deal with
Excuse
them
me,
every
Mark.
Day.
But the truth is when we establish the system.
I deal with teachers every day.
Let's just do it with one person talking at a time. Please finish your thought and then we'll go.
I deal with teachers every day that tell me exactly what's going to take place. You had them on your show 2 nights ago talking about testing. I can bring in 50,000 of them today that will talk about standardized testing and how this is sucking the education oxygen out of the classroom for teaching and learning.
Jeffrey, I finish your thought and then I want John to jump in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you very much. You know, really, so when you're setting your goals as a teacher with your supervisor, you're allowed to look at subgroups of students within your class to be sure that the goal that you set is appropriate. And, you know, again, the feedback I got from when we rolled out this system, working very closely with my CEA representatives in the district, was that teachers really enjoyed the conversations about teaching and learning and how it helped kids, help them better meet the needs of their kids. The SBAC test, you know, to say that it's fundamentally flawed, it's a standardized test that's being developed by experts, a nonprofit organization, by the way. It is a consortium. It is not a for-profit corporation. The test that Mr. Waxenberg mentioned, Ames Web, DRA, DRP, are tests that are currently used in our school districts, but they're not benchmark assessments. That's an inappropriate characterization of those types of tests. Ames Web's helped us identify children in early ages and grades and can be a universal screener. So there's a lot of technical things with an assessment system, and I just don't want all these facts to get mixed
up. Okay, well, one of the facts I wanted you to address is Jonathan Peltz's question about whether or not this test is age-appropriate, grade-level appropriate.
Yeah, so, you know, when we're talking about the Common Core assessments, there are some shifts. It is not as if all of the instruction that we're doing in mathematics and language arts goes out the window and we're starting all over again. So a lot of these things, as Bonnie had mentioned earlier, Connecticut has had high standards for decades. So not all of this is a monumental leap for our children. There are going to be some areas where we will struggle, and we're going to have to continue to adjust our instruction based on that. And I would encourage policymakers to be sure, and I'm pleased that this has happened in Connecticut, to be sure that we get it right before we make any high-stakes decisions on this. It, you know, really needs to be implemented. We really need the student-level data so that we can drive instruction appropriately.
Okay, so very quickly, and I'll just reset for our listeners here. We're talking about standardized testing in the state, including the SBAC test, and we're talking with a variety of experts on the issue, Mark Waxenberg from the CEA and Jeffrey Villar, who you just heard from the Connecticut Council for Education Reform, and Jackie Rabe Thomas from the Connecticut Mirror. We'll take a break in a couple of moments, but right now we want to plow through a couple more things. John Pelto, you're a blogger and an advocate, and you've been writing about this for quite some time. We've touched on the idea of parents opting out. When you hear from parents who say, I want to opt out of these tests for one reason or another, whatever the reason is, what are you hearing back from them? What are they saying to you?
Right, and that's exactly the point of having listened to the show for the last 40 minutes. It's clear that parents should opt their children out of these tests, that they're not ready. These tests are not ready, and we can have a reasonable or unreasonable discussion about whether telling 70% of third graders that they're failures is useful or not. But the fact is that I think, at least, and I think a lot of parents are coming to the same, a lot of other parents are coming to the same conclusion, that we need to step aside and see this thing develop over time. So the State Department of Education and the Malloy administration has been engaged in this effort to convince parents, persuade parents, scare parents, harass parents into believing that they cannot opt out. And they're using a statute that says all schools must have the test and all students must take the test, which is actually the same language that was around for the 30 years for the CMTs, and every year thousands of students did not take the test for whatever reason, and none of them were punished. And the reason they weren't punished is because there is no state law, regulation, policy, no federal law, regulation, or policy that allows the state or the school district to punish a child or a parent who opts their children out. So the fact is that parents have the legal, fundamental, inalienable constitutional right to protect their children.
And John Pezzo, just very quickly, Jackie Thomas, is everything he's saying, does this all equate?
I have not seen anything from the state directing parents that they will be punished if they opt their kids out. To the contrary, I have seen district guidance that their responsibility is to provide a test to every student in their district, and there's a 95% threshold that they're required to meet, and potential ramifications of that is funding could be at risk.
So, Mark, here's a question for you. What do your teachers tell parents if they say, I'm not so sure about this test, I might want to opt my kid out, what do I do? What do your CEA teachers say?
I don't know exactly what every teacher is saying to every parent that's asking them about opting out.
What's your guidance to your teachers?
It is, as Jackie said, there is no law prohibiting a parent from opting their child out of this test. That's clear, unambiguous. That's what we tell parents. There is no law prohibiting you from opting your child out of this test. But it's your decision as a parent as to whether or not you believe that that's necessary. And just let me follow it up. The beauty of our legislative proposal is twofold. Opt out becomes moot because our proposal of how you do this program monitoring testing is integrated in the curriculum, so you're not opting out of a test. It's a constant annual, daily, weekly integration of the curriculum with the way in which we assess our students. So opting out becomes a moot point. And to the other issue, which is the standards as to age and grade appropriateness, our legislation calls for this task force to look at the age and grade appropriateness of the standards associated with our students and what they should know by what grade.
We have to take a break because we're running low on time, and I want to thank Jonathan Palazzo. He writes a blog called Wait, What? And it's a resource for a lot of parents who are looking at education issues very closely in the state. I want to thank him for joining us on the phone today. We've got a lot of phone calls. We still want to join at 860-275-7266. We'll be back to talk more about standardized testing. Clearly, there's a lot to talk about on where we live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on tomorrow's show, when you think of bands that have been on the local scene a very, very long time, the name Max Creek probably jumps to the top. They've been playing the jam band circuit for decades, and they're about to celebrate their 44th anniversary as a band. They're almost as old as me. They'll join us in our Studio 3 to share some of their music, and hope you can join us tomorrow on Where We Live. Today on the program, we're talking about standardized testing with Mark Waxenberg. He's the executive director of the Connecticut Education Association. They've got a new sort of plan that does away with the SBAC test that a lot of kids are going to be taking very, very soon. Jeffrey Villar, executive director of the Connecticut Council for Education Reform, thinks the test that we have is a good idea. Jacqueline Rabe Thomas is an education reporter for the Connecticut Mirror, who's just helping me sort through the whole thing. And we're going to take some of your phone calls here. Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Hartford. Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you, John? It's good to be on the show. I just wanted to point out that I'm on the school board in Hartford, and I've spoken with a lot of parents over the last couple of years who have considered opting out of either the CMT or the SBAC. And the first call that I ever got was in 2011 from a Puerto Rican mother who was concerned that the test data was not being used appropriately at that time, and still is the case, that the test data was being used to give out bonus money to teachers and staff in the Hartford Public Schools, and that she basically opted out as a protest to that particular thing. And now over the years, there's kind of more and more people asking, what is this opt-out thing? Because I think what they're seeing is that the testing is not being used appropriately, and it's narrowing what the kids are getting. So in other words, they're seeing their kids are being tested more and more and more, and the quality of the education in the school system is declining. They're not getting social studies. They're not getting gym. They're not getting art. They're not getting music. And all those things that we consider to be a rich education in the curriculum they're not getting. And so they're starting to ask more and more questions. So although it's a small number of parents that have asked for my advice, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's growing. People are starting to question, you know, why are we so focused on the SBAC and the testing and the data when in reality the quality of the education is really in decline?
Robert, thank you very much for your phone call. I want to quickly go to Gordon and Bethany because we're running low on time. I want to get a few more voices in there. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
My concern is that a bigger picture. We have a curriculum and a set of standards that were created by corporate interests who now create the test with limited transparency, and they only stand to benefit if there's a lot of failures where they can create products that parents can consume and services that parents can consume to help their students and then also ultimately come in and take over the schools.
Gordon, thank you very much for your thoughts. Jonathan, New Haven, last caller here. Go ahead. You're on Where We Live.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead quickly, Jonathan, if you would.
Two things. Firstly, to the gentleman, and because I've heard a couple people say this, that there are financial interests on the part of the people who administer or create the tests, which make them not valid. Everybody in your discussion, whether it was today or the other day, they're all involved and have financial interests in the education system. So that kind of argument is just fluff and has no bearing. I would also point out that if you're running a company, the way you determine whether you're doing well versus your competitors and those people who are doing the same thing as you are is you have standardized tests. You compare whether you're doing as well as them in certain areas, and if not, you know where to improve. Also, within your business, the way you determine whether each individual person is doing well is you have they have those that are doing the same thing. You compare whether they're doing them at the same level. You don't make a different test for every individual person because then it has no validity. So standardized testing is the way to go. It is the only way that we're going to determine whether we, once again in the United States, begin to do better as against Japan, Sweden, other countries like that, who all have standardized testing and have been putting our education system to shame over the last several decades.
And Jonathan, I'll let you go there just because we're running very, very low on time. I just want to give Mark Waxenberg and Jeffrey Verlar just a quick last thought on this. So what happens next with this plan that you're taking to the lawmakers, Mark?
Next week there'll be a hearing on testing in the legislature. We will bring our proposal and our legislative plan to them. Hopefully there will be debate, discussion, and it will be looked upon favorably. We'll have considerable support from around the not only within the state but around the country from various folks. And we think, again, we're not doing away with standardized testing. We're just turning it on its head.
And I asked you something like this earlier, Jeffrey, but would you be willing to work with Mark and the other large union in the states to maybe come up with something that works a little differently than what we have?
Well, what we'd like to see, and what I'm really hopeful that it does occur and addresses Mr. Cotto's comments on the phone a little while ago, is to develop a quality curriculum, which we've been working on for 4 years in the state, with built-in assessments, formative assessments. Benchmark assessments are also a component of that, which is I'm glad to hear the CAA supports that. And then you have the Smarter Balance Assessment at the end, which informs the larger policy conversation.
And Jackie Rabe Thomas, you know, we didn't even have time to talk about who the next commissioner is going to be, but very, very quickly, a plug for your school. It's a new tool on the Connecticut Mirror website. What would you find out there?
Sure. So if you're interested in measures besides standardized tests on how your local school is doing, you know, how often your students are disciplined, what the teacher pay, how it compares to local other districts around, what the class size of your grade and in your school is and how it compares, find it at yourschools.ctmirror.org.
Oh, so you just go, and if you go to just ctmirror.org and you click on, it's a nice red apple there, and you can find all the tools right there. So there is a way to compare schools, and it's right online. It's at ctmirror.org. Jacqueline Rabe Thomas is the great education reporter for the Mirror. Thanks so much, Jackie. Of course, you can continue this conversation online, and a lot of people will want to. It's WNPR.org. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. Our show produced by Lydia Brown, Tucker Ives, Betsy Kaplan, and Kyle Wolf. Our digital editor is Heather Brandon. Our executive producer is Katie Talar. Thanks to intern Kelsey Bissell. This is Where We Live.